Glory wakes us with mercy and love, Jesus does. Who holds the orphan, comforts the widow, cries for injustice, feels every sorrow, carries the pain of his children, Jesus does. So we sing praise to the Father who gave us his Son, praise to the Spirit who's living in us. When I was a sinner, he saved me from who I was, 'cause that's what Jesus does. Who understands the heart of a sinner, showers his grace over all our mistakes, and washes us clean with his blood, Jesus does. Who sings the song of sweet forgiveness? Who stole the keys to hell and the grave? Who has the power to save? Jesus does. So we sing praise to the Father who saved us his Son, praise to the Spirit who's living in us. When I was a sinner, he saved me from who I was, 'cause that's what Jesus does. Oh, what a friend, oh, what a Savior. He's always been good, he's always been faithful. He came to my rescue when I needed him most, and he saved my soul. So we sing praise to the Father who gave us his Son, praise to the Spirit who's living in us. When I was a sinner, he saved me from who I was. So we sing praise to the Father who gave us his Son, praise to the Spirit who's living in us. When I was a sinner, he saved me from who I was, 'cause that's what Jesus does.
Thank you.
So it'll be sitting there for you, and why don't you join me as a player? And are you heading downstairs?
I have mercy on your soul. She's going down to take care of the nursery today.
Bless her.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Oh, look what you've got. All right. You know, as I was sitting here listening to Jimmy make the announcements a minute ago, I found it interesting. The Legere couple that he was speaking about, they went to Liberty, worshiped here while they were in town going to school, and they've gone now heading out to the mission field. August the 14th will be day one on the mission field. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Can you remember day one for Dwayne Zook on the mission field when you first started, very first day?
I can. That was 50 years ago.
Yeah.
September.
Okay. All right. Yeah,
that makes me more than 50.
Yeah, a little bit. I think I was interested in the spectrum there of what we were looking at today. The first day in 50 years of faithful ministry to the Lord. So we are, amen, amen. We're excited to have Dwayne back with us today. The Zooks have been old, mostly old, friends of ours
for a long time.
A long, long time, Jeannie and Becky went to high school together right over at Brookville High School. And for a number of years, he worked with Josh McDowell Ministries, which has now become Sightline Ministry. And Dwayne is executive vice president of that ministry as they continue to move forward with Josh's materials and getting these things around the world and in the hands of people in countries that you and I wouldn't be able to get into probably and certainly do the things that they are doing. I'm looking forward to the testimonies that he'll share with us today and the things that they've seen God do over the last, since he was here last a year ago. And so I'm going to pray for you, brother, and then God tells you to do, you have at it.
All right.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much once again for a people who will say yes to the call of God on their life. I thank you for Dwayne and Jeannie and their faithfulness over all of these years, God, to serve you and to do all that they can to glorify your name and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Thank you that they're able to be with us today to give us testimony of what you've done through their ministry over the last year since we've seen them. Pray, God, you'd anoint him with your Holy Spirit today, God, and he would just encourage each one of us to be likewise faithful servants of the Lord. We ask you to speak through him to us today, God, and encourage each one of us in our spiritual journey. We'll give you thanks for what you say and what you do in our hearts and lives in this hour, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Tom, can you be sure he's unmuted back there?
Am I unmuted? Yeah. Yes, I can tell.
Yeah.
But, well, it is a real joy for Jeannie and myself to be here with each of you this morning. And it's always fun and a great time to be back with you, to worship with you, and to see what the Lord has been doing. We also want to thank you so much for your continued support through your prayers and finances. We do not take your partnership lightly. What we do is in different parts of the world, as Pastor Ken shared, around the world in places that are very dark. And yet God is there. This morning I want to share a little bit from God's Word, and then that will lead into a time of sharing what God has been doing. This is the fifth straight Sunday that we've been at five different churches, and I find some mornings my voice is crisp and clear, and some mornings it isn't. Thank you for the water. I love the song. Many, and I don't have the exact words, but it was, many wide rivers have I crossed, and many barren deserts have I gone over. I have come to worship you. I pray that this will be a time of worship for each one of us here this morning. Have you ever felt weak? Have you ever felt inadequate? I think we've all been there. Have you ever sensed God calling you to go somewhere or do something or talk to someone? And you say, not me, Lord. Well, there are many examples of that in the scripture. And you know, electronics are awesome, But sometimes my screen goes dark and I have to close it. And then I open it back up and I have to do my face recognition and it comes back on and it now is bright. So forgive me for that. Well, the man I want to share a little bit about this morning was a judge in the Old Testament, in Judges. And it was a really tough time for the Israelites at that point in time. Midian was oppressing them. The Amalekites were oppressing them. And yet God was faithful at calling people to be his messenger, to be his person of the hour for his people. Gideon is the man I want to briefly talk about this morning. In the midst of all that chaos, the angel came to Gideon. And Gideon was at the wine press. He was beating out wheat. And the angel appeared saying, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." And Gideon said to him, this is in Judges 6, "Please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us?" He went on to say, "Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest. I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "I will be with you." We know part of the story of Gideon, how Gideon was called to go against the Midianites. I'm going to call this section Jars, Torches, and Trust. You might say Jars, Torches, Trumpets, and Trust. But just as the Lord appeared to Gideon, Gideon said, "I need an army." And 32,000 men joined him. And the Lord said, "That's too many." It was whittled down to 10,000. Many of you know the story. And God said, "It's still too many." Can you imagine what Gideon was thinking? "Lord, how's this going to happen?" He had the fleece that he put out to get God's direction. He wanted to know what God's battle plan was. God's battle plan was not what Gideon had thought. And many of us know the story of how that 32,000 whittled to 10,000 was whittled down to 300. 300 men to go against a huge army of the Midianites with a man who was feeling weak, but a man who knew his God, knew his God was able to win the battle. Notice what the 300 men carried. They carried the jars, the torches, and the trumpets. And the light was inside the jars. It was hidden. Ordinary things, not weapons of war, no swords, no machetes or guns, or they didn't have guns back then, but tools of light and sound in a dark world. And as I mentioned, the torch was inside the jar. The light was there all the time, but wasn't visible until the torch was broken. It just needed the outer shell to be shattered for the light to shine. Now, as I reflect on this story, I think there are a few core themes. One is God sees potential oftentimes that we don't. When God called Gideon, God knew where the Midianites were, how many they were. But he also called someone who felt weak, believed himself as weak, but God saw him as a mighty man of valor. How God sees us is so important. Josh wrote a book called See Yourself as God Sees You. No more or no less. How God views us affects how we act. God sees us as people for what we can become, not what we might think we are. Second theme is strength through weakness. Talked about the 32,000 men, down to 10,000, down to 300. And why do you think he did that? So that they wouldn't boast that we did it. Only God could pull this off. The victory emphasized that it was God's power delivering them. Third theme is grace for human doubt. Gideon struggled with his doubts in himself. He may have struggled with his faith in God. We don't know. He asked God for multiple signs, including the test of the fleece on the threshing floor to prove God's presence. And I think this story shows us that God's grace is patient with our doubts. He's patient with our doubts. And he lovingly provides reassurance when we're taking steps of faith. The fourth theme is the danger of idolatry and pride. The end of Gideon's story actually serves as a cautionary tale. Despite his earlier triumphs, he eventually created a sacred gold ephod that the people began to worship as an idol, showing that even the greatest leaders must remain vigilant against turning good things into false gods. Victory is the Lord's, it's not ours. God is not limited by your and my weakness. Obedience matters more than strategies. And your breaking may bring someone else's light. We live in a dark world, as I mentioned earlier. Around the world, and even here in our country, it feels dark sometimes. Do you ever walk into a room and say, let me turn off the darkness? Mm-mm. We say, let's turn on the light. The torches inside the jars were there, but the moment they were shattered, the light appeared. Just like Jesus said, he is the light of the world. We have the light of Jesus, the light of the gospel. And it can dispel any darkness. The darkness in our hearts. The darkness in the hearts and souls of those around us. Jesus' light is what makes the difference. Now I mentioned Jeannie and I have the opportunity to serve in some dark places around the world. We have seen God do amazing things in the Middle East, where dreams and visions, Jesus appears in dreams and visions to people to turn on the light so that they seek him. Imagine with me living next to a dump that is your livelihood. Imagine living in a nation where it's illegal to have a Bible or even a Christian book like More Than a Carpenter. This is in Farsi, by the way. And illegal, but needing to find a secret place to hide the Bible and the Christian book because of fear of the authorities. Imagine with me living in a nation that is 95% Muslim, becoming a believer in Jesus and a Christian, and wanting to go to the university with a father who is of the majority religion, and he finds out that his son has trusted Christ, and he said, I will give you free tuition for the university if you turn your back on this Jesus and come back to my faith. Imagine with me living in a predominantly Muslim country, being a Christian and involved with a Christian group, working with college students that or where it often takes 40 or 50 different conversations with a person before they feel like they can come to the point to make a decision about whether to follow Jesus or not follow Jesus. Those are a few of the examples of places where we have had the privilege of seeing God at work. The story of the living at, near, next to a dump is in Cambodia. One of our speakers had been invited to go there earlier this year, and he was invited on a Sunday morning to preach about the resurrection of Christ. He got to this church building built out of bamboos, and there were about 200 people there, and it was right next to a huge mound, almost like a mountain, of garbage. The livelihood of the people that came to this church went through the garbage and the dump to either get things that they could use or sell. That was their livelihood. And as Young, his name is Young Lee, as Young spoke that morning on the resurrection, he saw the light bulbs come on in people's eyes because the light of Jesus, based on his life, death, and resurrection, answered people's questions. And there were about 10 individuals that morning that said, I too want to believe in Jesus. Young just returned from Cambodia a couple weeks ago, where he had the awesome privilege to speak to churches as well as to crew staff there and also a seminary. The second place that I described was living in a nation where it's illegal to have a Bible or a Christian book. We have a partner there. Actually, he lives in the States, but he and his wife had to flee Persia when they were younger and believers because of their faith. They now live in Dallas. In the last 4 years, as I've gotten to know them and see how God is using them, when I first met him, he shared that he had a network of about 750 house churches. About 10, 15 years ago, all the churches were shut down and forced underground. 750 house churches were part of his network. When he spoke to our staff this spring, he shared that now it's over 2,000 house churches. I have heard before that in that country where the war is going on today, that that's the fastest growing church in the world. God does things in spite of people's weaknesses. God is the one at work. He shared with us a picture of this lady at her house, and the ceiling wasn't very tall. I think she had to step on a stool, but there was a light, and she pulled it down out of the ceiling and pulled out a book as well as a Bible. That was her hiding place for her Bible and the book. More Than a Carpenter is one of six different books that he now has translated and printed, generally 5,000 to 10,000 at a time, in the country, by the way, and even amidst the war, because I specifically asked him about 4 weeks ago whether the printing is still happening and being distributed. He said, of course. God wants them there. God wants his light to go forth. God wants the Persians to come to know him. I think I shared with you last year where there was a professor in this country at a major university, and his son had given him a copy of More Than a Carpenter. He let it sit in his living room for a while or on a bookshelf. And over their New Year's time, his son came to the door. The father met with him with a big hug, and his son thought, what happened here? They spoke, they talked the rest of the night. And it wasn't much after that that the father, professor in a major university, said, I now understand who you believe, why you believe, and I want to make that decision too. He has taken some of these books into his classroom, and I can't remember what he teaches, but he makes them available for his students in the majority Muslim religion, where it's illegal to have these. But he gets away with it because he's at a university. And he says, if you would like one of these, take one. Because, you know, you may not believe what Christians believe, but it's helpful for you to know what Christians believe so you can disprove them. In the process, after reading this book, he trusted Christ. Now, that's not the end of the story. What I heard, I think it was December or January, this man now has created a social media platform where he is putting out questions and quotes from the Bible. For example, he said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Why do you think he said that? And he engages people in conversations. Can you believe that? The last I heard, I can't remember how many people that regularly engage with him. It's safer to do that online than just going out and handing out the books. So God uses this professor. God used his son. God uses the people to take these books. The next country I want to share about is Albania. It's the country where I shared that, actually it's not Albania, it's a country in Central Asia. I'll get to Albania. The country where the son trusted Christ and his dad found out about it and said, if you want to go to the university, you're on your own. You're not going to get any support from me. Interestingly enough, that son went to the university. His sister was there. His sister actually was serving, had become a believer, and was serving with crew in Albania. I'm sorry, I'm getting my stories mixed up, in Central Asia. She helped him go to the university, and in the process, she introduced him to some other Christians that were involved with crew. The end of the story is he trusted Christ, and he now too is serving with crew. This is in a very closed country in Central Asia. The last country I wanted to talk about, I'll probably have more, but I can't remember what time I started. Is Albania. Albania is in Eastern Europe. It is probably 80% Muslim. And Josh, by the way, is no longer out there speaking. He'll be 87 next month. He's not speaking and writing, but we have two younger speakers plus Young, who is Korean, who has been traveling around the world also. But two younger speakers were invited to go to Albania. One of them was invited a year ago to a conference called Explorer Conference. What they did there was invite students from about three or four different universities who were of the majority religion to come and explore who Christ was and what he had to say and what the scriptures say. At that particular conference, there were about 70 people there, and about 7 trusted Christ. That's a country where they tell us it oftentimes takes 40 to 50 conversations with a person. And this is not uncommon in that part of the world until they come to a point where they say, I believe or I can't believe. This year, both of our younger speakers were asked to come. And one of them was Matthew, who wrote a book, Why Did God Do That?, dealing with some of the difficult passages in this, especially the Old Testament. For example, when God asked the Israelites to go and kill everybody, including men, women, and children, how can God be good in that? I don't know about you, but there are certain scriptures you say, I don't get it. One of the biggest questions and most pressing questions a lot of the younger people are asking today is God good? Well, Matthew had the opportunity to speak about that at this conference, where this year there were about 120 or 130 students at. And over the 3 days as he and Austin had a chance to speak and gave people an opportunity to trust Christ, 11 this year trusted Christ. And the director there is like, thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you have done here. One of the students who had trusted Christ a year ago came back and said to our staff who live in Estonia, and they helped facilitate this conference with Albanian crew staff, said, I was here last year, and I was one who trusted Christ. And I want to say, first of all, thank you. Secondly, I want to let you know what God is calling me to do this summer. He said, God is calling me to go with a group of Albanian Christian students to the country of Turkey on a mission trip to share Christ. A year ago, he trusted Christ. This year, he's sharing his faith in a foreign country. Multiplication of the gospel. As the light goes out, it goes further and further and further. God is doing amazing things. And I could tell you stories from Cuba or Mongolia or Vietnam or Egypt or West Africa or Pakistan, or I could list additional countries. It's not us doing it. It's not the crew staff doing it. Sure, we're involved, but God is the one who is orchestrating all of this. Just as God called Gideon, God has called each of us to break that torch, break that jar, so that the light will shine. And God can do that in and through us. So thank you again for this opportunity to share, and thank you again for your partnership with us. I'll come back and get this if that's satisfactory. Thank you for the water. God bless you all.
Most of us watch the news. We see all the things that are going on all over the world. We've seen for the last several months war in the Middle East and all of the destruction and all of the killings and all of the things that are going on over there. And a lot of times, just as he said, we look at the things that are going on in the world and we say, where is God in all of this? Why is all of this happening? What's going on? What's really taking place here? And what he has just shared with us for the last half an hour or so is the fact that beyond all of the things that we see on the news that are taking place, all of the things in the natural realm that we see going on, all the destruction that's happening, what's happening in all of those places is that God is still there. God is still moving. God is still saving souls. God still loves the people of the world. It's a whole different thing. We need to remember that. Every time we sit down and watch the news, we need to remember there are a lot of things going on that the news will never tell you about, because all they see is what's happening in the natural world. But what our brother has shared with us today is what's going on in the realm of the spirit and what the Lord is doing in the midst of all the chaos and destruction that's taking place in the world. God is faithful. He is still there. And here's the most important thing we need to understand. All of those people in the middle of all that kind of stuff, and it's very easy for us to be angry and to want to see destruction and to have hate for and all these kind of things. God so loves the world. Even all of those people, God loves every one of them. And he is on the move, looking to save as many as he can. And so, we appreciate so much what you and your ministry are doing, and we support nearly a dozen ministries in this little church that are sharing the gospel around the world in various places. But I suspect that the crew and your ministry, and probably you particularly, have been to more countries than the rest of our crew has been to. How many countries? Do you know exactly how many different countries you personally have been to?
Between 75 and 80.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And training and preparing and finding open doors and opportunities and various ways of getting the gospel message into the people of all of these countries so that they have an opportunity to know Christ and find salvation. And that's what we're all about. Amen. That's what the church is all about. So we thank you for what you're doing. And as Jim has already said, we thank all of you, because it's your giving to this ministry that enables us to continue to support Dwayne and his ministry and all the others that we support taking the gospel to the world. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the message that we've heard today and the things that you've shared with us in these moments. We thank you for the faithfulness of our brother and for the crew ministry and for Sightline ministry to continue to love the people of the world, to love them enough to be willing to lay down their lives to get to them with the good news of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we continue to pray for provision. We pray for protection. We pray for wisdom and direction for Dwayne and his ministry and all that serve with him. Pray, Father, you continue to use them for the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for all that you're doing through Sightline and Dwayne and Jeannie Zook. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, you did share one other thing. You talked about